Vice Admiral Winslow Holland Maxwell, USN, had his office on the E-ring of the Pentagon. It allowed him a fine view of Washington and of the demonstrators, he noted angrily to himself. Baby killers, one placard read. There was even a North Vietnamese flag.
That isn't good for you, Dutch.
Don't I know it, Maxwell grumbled.
The freedom to do that is one of the things we defend, Rear Admiral Casimir Podolsky pointed out.
But it was a little too much. For it, his son had died over Haiphong in an A-4 strike fighter.
All those nice, peaceful, sensitive young people, he noted.
So why are you in such a good mood, Kaz? Maxwell asked.
This one goes in the wall safe, Dutch, Podolsky handed over a heavy folder.
It bore the coded designator Boxwood Green.
They're going to let us play with it?
Just a few of us. We have authorization for a complete feasibility study.
Admiral Podolsky settled into a chair. Maxwell and Podolsky had worked on the planned mission for several months, never in any real expectation that they'd be allowed to pursue it.
They want us to keep it off the books, the Polish-born admiral noted.
Jim Greer, too?
Best intel guy I know, Podolsky replied.
He just started at CIA, I heard last week, Maxwell warned. We're going to make enemies doing this.
Lots of 'em. Podolsky gestured to the protesters below. What'll a few more matter?
So where the fuck is she? Billy demanded. How the hell should I know?
Rick replied, equally angry, and fearful of what Henry would say when he got back. Their eyes turned to the woman in the room.
You're her friend, Billy said.
Doris was trembling. Billy took the 3 steps to her, and she flinched but didn't evade the slap that landed her on the floor.
Bitch! You better tell me what you know.
I don't know anything, she screamed up at him.
You know something, and you better tell me right now, Billy said.
He removed the belt from his pants.
Get the rest in here, he told Rick.
Doris stood, nude from the waist up, crying silently, knowing she couldn't run. There was no safety for her. The other girls came in slowly. Her only satisfaction as she heard the belt whistle through the air was that she would reveal nothing that could hurt her friend. As searing as the pain was, Pam had escaped. Rosen helped Kelly load groceries from the boat into the bunker.
So, Kelly said, you teach surgery.
8 years now, yeah.
You don't look like a surgeon.
Rosen smiled.
Speaking of surgeons, Rosen pointed at Kelly's chest, some good ones worked on you.
That one looks like it was nasty.
Yeah, I got careless that time.
How long were you over there?
Total, maybe 18 months.
That's a Navy cross you have hanging on the wall. Is that what it's for?
Kelly shook his head. That was something else. I had to go up north to retrieve somebody, A-6 pilot. He shrugged.
I got him out, and the Admiral made me a chief and got me a medal.
Come on, I'll show you my baby.
Kelly led Rosen aboard Springer and showed him around. When they finished the tour, they decided to return to shore.
Let me get Pam's stuff, Kelly said, and picked up her backpack, tossing it down on the quay.
The backpack landed on the concrete, spilling some contents. Kelly immediately saw what was wrong. There was a large brown prescription bottle without a label. They stepped slowly off the boat. Rosen handed it to Kelly.
What are they, Sam?
The trade name is Quaalude, he replied dispassionately. Methaqualone. It's a barbiturate, a sedative, pretty powerful.
No label. It's not a prescription.
Kelly suddenly felt tired and old and betrayed somehow.
Yeah.
You didn't know?
Sam, we only met not even 24 hours ago.
I don't know anything about her.
Rosen paused.
Settle down. People get hooked on these things. Your lady friend may have a problem, but she seems like a nice girl.
And you seem like a mensch. So do we try and solve the problem, or not?
I guess that's up to her, Kelly observed bitterly. He felt betrayed. He'd started giving his heart away again, and now he had to face the fact that it might all have been a waste of time.
That's right. It is up to her. But if you act like an idiot,
You won't help her very much. Now, she's not a bad girl, John. Something's bothering her. She's nervous about something, in case you didn't notice.
Well, yes, but Rosen peered at him.
I'm missing something here.
What is it?
I lost a wife less than a year ago. Rosen shook his head. We all have vulnerabilities. You have training and experience to deal with your problems. She doesn't. Come on. We have work to do.
They returned to the bunker. Inside, Pam was trying to entertain Sarah, but not succeeding. When Sam entered, Sarah gave him a look that Kelly understood.
And so, well, I left home when I was 16, Pam was saying, rattling on,
her eyes focused on the backpack Kelly held in his hands.
Oh, great, I need some of that stuff.
She took the pack from his hands, then headed toward the master bedroom. Sam handed his wife the plastic container.
I didn't know, Kelly said defensively.
300 milligrams, Sarah said. It ought not to be a severe case, but she does need assistance.
Pam came back into the room a few seconds later, telling Kelly that she'd left something on the boat. It was so clear, he thought, when you knew what to look for.
Is this it? Kelly asked. He held the bottle in his hands.
His reward for the harsh question was like a well-earned knife in the heart. Pam's eyes fixed on the brown plastic container, and the first thing Kelly saw was a sudden hungry expression. Then the shame hit her. Her breathing became irregular as the sobs began, her eyes on Kelly. Even a drug addict must look inward, and doing so through the eyes of others merely added a cruel edge.
I'm sorry, Kelly,
she tried to say. She turned away, unable to face the man she'd begun to love. It was decision time for John Terence Kelly. He could feel betrayed, or he could show the same compassion to her that she had shown to him less than 20 hours before. Kelly's eyes filled with tears as well. He went to her, cradled her like a child, because it was now his time to be strong for her. They stood together for a few minutes while the others watched.
I've been trying, she said presently. I really have, but I was so scared.
It's okay, Kelly told her.
But I'm not what you think I am.
Kelly smiled, missing the warning. It's okay, Pammy. Really.
Pam, Sarah said, interrupting, how about we take a little walk?
Pam nodded agreement, and Sarah led her outside.
You are a mensch, Rosen announced with satisfaction.
Here, I'll take those, he said, reaching for the bottle. They carry lot numbers. The police can identify the shipment that was diverted.
So, what do we do now?
We wait a little while.
Sarah and Pam came back 20 minutes later, holding hands.
We got a winner here, folks, Sarah told them. She's been trying for a month all by herself.
We can make it easier, Sam said, pulling Kelly to his feet.
What happens? Kelly asked 30 minutes later on their way to the mainland.
We support her with barbiturates and ease her off.
You give her drugs to get her off drugs.
Yep, Rosa nodded. Let us do our job, okay?
Sarah had a light dinner cooking as Kelly entered the bunker.
Where's Pam?
She's sleeping, Sarah replied. Poor thing, she's exhausted. There's something else. She's very frightened of something, but she wouldn't say what it was.
She paused, then continued.
She's been abused, John. I didn't ask about it, but somebody's given her a rough time.
What do you mean? Kelly asked.
I mean, she's been sexually assaulted, Sarah said calmly.
You mean raped? Kelly asked, his arms tensing.
Sarah nodded, unable now to hide her distaste.
Almost certainly. Probably more than once. There is also evidence of physical abuse on her back and buttocks.
I didn't notice.
You're not a doctor, Sarah pointed out.
How did you meet?
Kelly told her, remembering the look in Pam's eyes and knowing now what it must have been from.
Why hadn't he noticed it?
So, she was trying to escape. I wonder if the same man got her on the barbiturates, Sarah wondered.
You mean that somebody's been working her over
Anne got her on drugs, Kelly said.
But why?
Kelly, please don't take this wrong, but she might have been a prostitute. Pimps control girls that way. Sarah Rosen hated saying that, but Kelly had to know. She's young, pretty, a runaway from a dysfunctional family, the physical abuse, the undernourishment. It all fits the pattern.
But she's not like that. I don't understand, but in some ways he did, he told himself, thinking back.
She's fighting back, John. She's got guts. She's been on the road for over 4 years, doing God knows what. But something in her won't quit. But she can't do it alone. She's been trying, but not quite succeeding. She needs you. Now I have a question. Sarah looked at him. Will you be there to help her?
Kelly looked up, searching for what he really felt.
You guys are really worked up about this, aren't you?
Sarah nodded.
She needs you, John, Sarah said again. You damn well better be there for her, boy. Somebody dealt her a really shitty hand, but she's fighting.
Yes, ma'am, Kelly said humbly, and he looked up and smiled. What do I do first?